Education, a service of Gulf Coast State College. I'm Tori Shea, sitting in the hot seat this morning. We start things off with Diana Ross and the Supremes, I Hear a Symphony. And that is because we're going to be hearing about a symphony. Conductor, composer, David Ott, the leader of the Panama City Pops, is with us this morning.
And I'm glad to be here.
Great. Good morning. We've also got a studio full of some digital media students.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And also hostesses, Micaiah and Deborah.
Hey, how are you doing, everyone? Hope you're having a great day.
Yeah, and one of you is going to fill the seat after I leave, right?
Yes, I'll try my best.
Sounds great. And producer Brandon here, as always, in control of the mics. Do you know why our headphones sound like this?
I have no idea. It seems to be working on my end, except for your microphone. But
yeah, something about my microphone.
I have no idea.
All right. Anyways, we will get over to our topic, which is the Panama City Pops. And I know your regular season, you perform at the Marina Civic Center. But during the summer, you do what?
Okay, this summer we're playing a couple of concerts out at Sweet Bay, one this weekend, and of course that's what we want to talk about right now. Sweet Bay, new development out where at the old airport, 6:30 this Saturday. That's a free concert.
And they have an amphitheater.
Yes, they do. Well, it's a small performing area, actually. It's not truly, but it's got a beautiful lake or a small lake there, and you bring your picnic lunches and your blanket and some nice drinks. It's going to be a great night. Best of all, it's absolutely free.
Perfect.
And a great event for if you're not a symphony goer or wonder what kind of an orchestra we have in the area, this is a great chance to hear it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing a very family-friendly concert. We're going to show both sides of the Pops Orchestra. We do classical music and we do lighter music. The program's going to start with some familiar classical music, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. We're not going to play the whole symphony. We're going to play the first movement, the part everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play the beautiful slow movement of Dvorak's New World Symphony. Sometimes we know this is the tune Going Home. Dvorak had traveled to America from Bohemia area, spent a couple of years as head of the New York Conservatory, but he missed his home country. And in Spillville, Iowa, 1,000 miles away from New York, was this little village of 300 Bohemians.
Uh-huh.
And so he traveled out by train, stopped at a Chicago World's Fair. It was the City of Light at the time.
Right.
And when he got to Bohemia, that little development in Spillville, Iowa, he wrote this beautiful music, which we know is Going Home. One of his students, when he was in the American Conservatory, was a black man who introduced him to Negro spirituals, and he was so fascinated by them. And he incorporated that, especially the tune Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, has a sort of an overriding part of that beautiful second movement. We'll play the Blue Danube. Then, for me, the most fun of the evening will come in our second set. I've written a new piece called Cinderella. It's a 30-minute piece with narration. We tell the story of Cinderella with narration, and then the music of the orchestra expresses the music in full emotional terms. We can't really tell a story in music, but we can enhance it.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to tell us what's going to happen, and then the music of the orchestra really brings the action alive. And we just got word that Cinderella and Prince Charming are going to be there. Live and in person.
Okay.
And you can get your picture taken with them, too.
Oh, so sounds good.
We want the children to come. We want them to dance on the lawn. We want them to sit there, take part. You know, this is really a family event.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do a third set, and we're going to play a lot of music that's from movies, some of the movies that are even currently playing, Mission Impossible, Pirates of the Caribbean, these kind of stuff that I think will be familiar to people.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the full spectrum of what the orchestra can do, from classics to something more popular.
Okay. Tell us how the Panama City Pops got started. Was there a person or a group of people that got together and said, gosh, Panama City needs an orchestra?
Basically, it was something like that. It actually began 20 years ago, I think it's 22 now, with a small group of musicians who were just looking for a chance to play together. And they formed a group which they call the Orchestra of St. Andrews Bay. And after about 8 years, slowly the group began to grow. And the orchestra conductor left, and Eddie Rackley came in and felt like for the community, a pops orchestra would be more appropriate. And what Eddie planned to do was popular music, movies, might be music from the theater, Broadway shows, music, dance music from the 30s and 40s played by an orchestra, and then some classical music as well. And over the next 12 years, the orchestra really grew into a full orchestra. And then 2 years ago, I took over when Eddie retired, and we are a very, very strong orchestra now.
How many people in the orchestra? How many musicians?
Well, when I took over, there were 65. Now we're 55.
Oh.
But what we've done is reduce the orchestra down. Now, all the musicians are now paid musicians. That wasn't the case in the past. And part of it was just attrition, but we did move the orchestra down to the size of a typical, say, mid-19th century orchestra with 55 players. We have pairs of woodwinds, two mm-hmm. flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons,
right.
four French horns, and then, of course, three trombones and two trumpets and a full complement of strings. And so that allows us to play literature all the way from 1600 up to present.
Fantastic.
That's good.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll come back to talk. I want to talk a little more about Cinderella, because okay. that is your composition,
yes,
is
right.
that correct? We'll talk about that more when we come back. On 90.7 FM and HD, this is The Mix.
WKGC, this is The Mix. Our friends wanted to get their message in first, so, you know, sometimes the computer just takes over there. Thank you for producer Brandon was ready to step in, I wrangled that computer. And this morning, that was The Verve and Bittersweet Symphony. This morning, we're talking to David Ott from the Panama City Pops, our conductor and bringer of culture to Panama City. You know, normally in the morning, I do some music news headlines. And so this morning, I looked into see if there were any classical music news headlines. And okay. so I want to hear what you think about this.
Okay.
There is a performance coming up. Composer Max Richter, he does not want any kind of standing ovation or any loud cheers during his live performance of an album called Sleep. It's an 8-hour classical music experience. It's going to happen in downtown LA next weekend, but guests are issued cots instead of seats.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And they're encouraged to, you know, you come in loose-fitting clothing, something comfortable, and you are expected to fall asleep during this performance. That's going to run from 10:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. on both nights.
So it's like a classical lock-in.
Yeah, something like that, but out in the park.
His goal is to actually get the listeners to go
yes,
to sleep.
Yes, the only sounds he wants to hear are a little bit of snoring, maybe some heavy breathing.
It reminds me of John Cage, I think it was in 1954, wrote a piece called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds.
Uh-huh.
And you sat at the piano and did nothing for 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds, to which Stravinsky said he could imagine lesser composers writing greater works. And this is the exact I think it's come to that now.
Yeah, something like that.
There are always crazy people out there with crazy ideas, and there you have one. That's not at all what you expect on Saturday night.
No.
We're going to be live, and we're going to get excited.
And you can get excited or scream.
People stand up and scream and say, yeah, that's what we're looking
okay.
for. Because we want you to enjoy the evening.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to go ahead and talk right about
Absolutely.
Cinderella.
This Saturday is it's a premiere.
It is.
For this composition
and
of Cinderella.
I got this idea a year or so ago. I was commissioned to write Peter Pan, a ballet.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very successful work, and I had so much fun, I thought, I've got to do another one. And I couldn't find a ballet company ready to jump into a new project, so I started writing music, and this would be perfect for Cinderella. What I had done with Peter Pan after writing it as a ballet, which was an hour and a half worth of music, well, that's a pretty long symphony concert. So I reduced it down to 25 minutes and wrote it as a story, which we played in our May concert with the Panama City Pops. And so I decided to write another one,
mm-hmm.
Cinderella, and had no idea that it'd be ready to go for this concert already.
Okay.
Now, you have to realize at 2:59 on Saturday afternoon, no one in the world will have ever heard this. Even the orchestra won't even see. All they have is their own part. The flute player
oh,
has
right.
the flute music.
Yes.
The trombone player has the trombone mm-hmm. and so on. So at 6:30, 3.5 hours later, we'll be playing this thing live. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Wow. So it's a premiere.
It is, but most of the time you have three rehearsals or four.
Okay.
We're doing this in one. So
oh,
it's
wow.
going to be a real test of us, although I have confidence in the orchestra because I've gotten to know what they're capable of doing in the last 2 years. But what you can expect, in fact, the whole night is going to be treated, we're calling this Spread the News.
All
and
right.
we're treating it like a news broadcast. In fact, Ron Marasco from Channel 7 is going to host the whole evening.
Oh, fantastic.
He's going to be our anchor man.
Great.
And he's going to talk about, say, the Beethoven First Symphony, and we're going to go to Vienna live right now. And after an interview with Mr. Beethoven, David Ott will tell us, I will act as the correspondent.
Okay.
And I'll talk about how in the Symphony Hall in just a few moments, I've interviewed Mr. Beethoven, and he's told me to expect these things about the piece. And then we're going to do the same thing with Spielville, Iowa.
Well, it's always a full production with the Panama City Pops. They don't just sit there and play their music.
This sounds exciting. You'll want to come to this. If you're listening, you will want to come.
Tell us how to get to Sweet Bay. Is off of 390, where the old airport used to be. But if you haven't been in town that long, you don't know where that is.
If you're coming from the west, from say, and you're coming up 23, then you turn on 390. Is it Frankfurt? It's marked.
It is marked. It'll be on your left.
And it's where the old airport was. In fact, my son is a pilot. He used to fly into that. And he said it was never such a thing as a soft landing in Panama City because the runway was so short. It was the shortest runway that I think he had to land on.
Okay.
So he's thankful they've got a big airport
now. Sure.
But anyway, in Cinderella, Tamala Spencer, who was our board president for the past 2 years, will actually be the narrator for the event.
I see.
So she'll tell us
the story
about Cinderella, and then you'll hear her music, and then her mother, who I've named her mother Horabella because she's such a bad lady. You'll hear Horabella's music, and then you're going to hear Dominera, who's a dominating sister, and Morosa, who's a morose, dull, sulky person.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear all of their music. And then you hear how badly Cinderella is treated and how she feels sad because her father has died years before and now she's in a stepsister situation.
Right.
And then a knock comes on the door and it's the king's men with a proclamation that there's going to be a ball. And of course, and then all this activity of the scurrying around, looking for gowns, looking for new shoes, and all the rest. And the music gets fairly exciting and that sort of thing. And then finally, the stepsisters go off to the ball. And meanwhile, Cinderella's sad at home doing all the chores. And then, of course, the fairy godmother shows up and transforms everything for her, brings the pumpkin to life into a carriage, and the mice become horsemen and so on. And she's carried off, but with a warning that it's stroke of midnight, and everything goes back to the way it was.
That's right.
And so at the first stroke, we can hear it, and Tamala is saying, what's happening? And she's leaving, and the prince doesn't know what's happening, and she leaves, and then the shoe falls off, the slipper, et cetera. And then the prince is all depressed, and so is she, until he thinks, if I can find the matching glass slipper, wore it? And you know the story. It's a great story.
It is a great story, timeless.
I had so much fun writing this. If I have fun writing, I guarantee you'll have
fun
listening to
it. It's going to be a great performance. Yeah. Now, and it's also possible I could get my picture taken with Cinderella?
You can.
What about the prince? Will he take a picture with me?
Oh, he would love to.
Okay.
He would be honored to have you by him. No, we this is a family night. So please come. Bring your children. Get to hear classical music and hear the Pops Orchestra. And, of course, we'll play some film music, too.
That you will know. So
yeah,
it won't be completely. It's not going to be over anyone's head. Don't worry about that.
With the Stars and Stripes Forever, and we will honor our servicemen, and it will give you a chance to feel what the community is like, and that's what's all.
So an important question again. So isn't Sweet Bay, but what time is it?
6:30.
Yeah, that is it.
Okay,
so you never mentioned the time. You're right.
If you're there by 6:15, it might be hard to find a place. So, the parking, leave good 30, plan to be there 30 minutes before the start time.
All right.
At least get your car parked.
So 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, arrive, and then find a good place to sit and spread out the blanket and that kind of thing. Or bring
a
lawn chair, obviously, anything like that. Make the night, and of course, you'll probably want to bring a glass of water, or a bottle of water, because it'll probably be warm that night, but It's going to be a great event.
All right, looking Saturday night with the Panama City Pops. We're talking with conductor David Ott, and we're going to check in on the weather. We'll talk to you a little bit more about composing on 90.7 FM and HD. WKGC, your local public radio station. Good morning. This is The Mix, Juice Newton and Queen of Hearts. We also heard from the Beatles. And this morning we're talking to David Ott, conductor of the Panama City Pops Orchestra. You've become a local celebrity in the past couple of years that you've run the orchestra. You're also a talented composer.
Well, thank you. It has been a fun 2 years, mm-hmm. and it's going to be the beginning of, I hope, several more, too.
Great.
Yes, I came to conducting by mm-hmm. being a composer first.
Okay.
Which gives me a different way to look at the orchestra, at looking at an orchestra from each individual person's part, and now being the conductor, in which you have to then look over the whole score from the other direction. You have to remember that everybody who sits in the orchestra only has one small piece. Mm-hmm. Now, that whole note that sits there for the tuba, why, he thinks that's the most important thing in the world.
Of course.
Yes. But that has to relate to everything else going in the orchestra. So balance within the orchestra is one of my first and most important responsibilities. Make sure the important thing happens so that everybody can hear that. It's
right.
called the balance within the orchestra.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, building the quality of the orchestra by making sure the right people are placed in the orchestra along the way, so we have good sound coming throughout the whole mm-hmm. whole system. And then I think one of the most important parts of being the conductor is choosing the kind of music that both people will enjoy, mm-hmm. will challenge the music, the musicians themselves, and then to make sure that I think I'm able to teach the audience so that we can together grow so
right.
that we can understand each other better.
Yeah, this is an interactive and a
it
communicative
is.
Performance. I heard was one of you, Micaiah or Deborah, asked a really good question right before we came back about Mr. Ott's influences.
Yeah, I was asking you. So, what inspired you to begin, you know, composing music?
I wanted to be famous. The trouble is, you know, when you're a composer, you don't get famous until you're dead. I don't know. It was just the creative art part of it. I went through college as a piano major, and it's amazing. In this world, there are pianists, great pianists, are a dime a dozen. And so I felt like I couldn't really compete on that level, and I simply started writing music, more for my own pleasure than anything. And, you know, music around 1960s and 1970s was getting pretty bizarre as far as the classical, our sleep mm-hmm. example is kind of an example of that. And so what I wrote was music that I found pleasurable for myself, and then I'd sort of under the table hand it to my friends and say, you don't want to play this, do you? And they said, well, we kind of like this. I remember the first commissioned piece that I ever wrote was for the Charlotte Symphony, and the piece was supposed to be called, according to the conductor, Just 6 Minutes. And his instructions to me were, write something for a southern city that's not used to these new contemporary events, and let's make that the piece. And if we do that for just 6 minutes, then people will say, well, okay, I didn't enjoy it, but it was only 6 minutes. Well, so I wrote 5 minutes of the piece, and I said, okay, and I wrote crazy stuff, absolutely crazy stuff. And I decided the last minute would be David Ott's music. And I stretched it to 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting, when we came to the rehearsals, the musicians sort of looked around the room like, what's going on here? You know, because the music was crazy. And but as we got to the dress rehearsal, so many people came up and said, I don't really understand your piece at all, but I like the ending.
Oh.
You know, they were telling me something. And that's the way it really got off the ground. And I have never been without a commission as a result of that. You know, we latched on to, as long as I'm true to myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And then I find it relates to others. In fact, one of the really interesting things I did, when I was writing my 6th symphony, this doesn't happen very often, but a tune came to me. You know, I'm sitting down in a chair, and a tune came to me, and my bird, our family bird, mm-hmm. Packy, was sitting on my shoulder, and I started whistling this melody that came to me, and Packy's beak started moving up and down in perfect rhythm. And
oh,
I
wow.
thought, dang, if the bird likes it, this is now the theme of, and it's, it, you know, that's crazy that a bird would have a reaction to something, but it really did work well as a theme.
That's good. Does the bird now test all your new pieces?
It's amazing. When the music is very rhythmic. Of course, this bird is a sun conure. They're part of the parrot family, you know. And so she's very vocal. Mm-hmm. She's always yelling about something, but extremely inquisitive. If you put something in her cage, she's just got to know what it is. You know?
Okay.
And she's very aware of the world around her.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big signal to me that this, you know,
that you were going in the right direction.
The bird said it.
You know? So you had a lot of experience.
A little birdie told you to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Go ahead.
So you have a lot of experience with music and composing and, you know, working with symphonies and stuff. But what, in your words, what makes a good musician?
Mm. That's a good question. Well, first of all, you have to have quality in whatever you do. And you have to be committed to whatever it is that you want to do. And somebody did a study of what it takes to be successful. And in fact, used the Beatles as an example. And this person discovered it was a minimum of 10,000 hours that you must do. To be a musician, somebody described it this way. You spend $20,000 purchasing your instrument. You spend $40,000 learning to perfect it. You drive a $10,000 car to play for a $50 gig. That it's a lot of hard work. And, you know, mm-hmm. a few people, even a few great classical musicians will make $100,000 in a night, but that's extremely rare. Our musicians who play in our orchestra really are paid almost nothing, but the thrill of playing with something you can't do by yourself, you need others around you, mm-hmm. is in itself exciting enough to bring us together for a reason that goes beyond music. So what is it that takes? First of all, is the word commitment. You have to believe in yourself, and that's the other thing that's so difficult. As a teacher, we want you to have confidence in yourself, but you mm-hmm. can't be arrogant about it. You know, otherwise, nobody can teach you. You have to be teachable throughout your life. And many times I've learned some wonderful things from students, you know. So may I answer your question? Starts off with commitment, dedication, belief in yourself, and stick-to-itive. You know, you just got to stay with it.
Wow, that's good.
Very good point. Yeah.
And you mentioned something about how it's the thrill of just working together, you know, because like you in a symphony, like you need each other, especially as a musician. And I think that's very good that you're keeping that alive, you know, like classical music and era, because especially this current generation.
Yeah, a lot of people are disconnected, or you're connected over the computer, but it's not really the same as being in a group of 50 people sitting on stage and creating an artwork together.
To witness that, you know, to see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Not a solo thing.
You mentioned the Beatles. I wondered if there were any pop musicians that inspire you. He's got a look on his face. I don't that look on his face.
You know, I think I'm at a point now in my life that I can just trust myself.
I see. Okay.
And, you know, obviously, when I hear something, I might say, oh, that's a great thought, or it's mm-hmm. a great approach to take to music.
Right.
And I might say, well, let me try that in my own way. But now I feel comfortable about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time to develop that.
Right.
You know, we were talking a few mm-hmm. minutes ago. The first thing you wonder about yourself, am I any good?
Yeah.
Well, you find that out by how people react to your music. You know, if they don't want to play it and they say, okay, and then you never hear from that person again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, I guess that's not going to work. And you get to develop something about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, it goes beyond that. It's you accept who you are. And I mean, it might take 25, 30, 35
sure.
years. Here's a great comment that Beethoven made one time. He said, now he lived to be 56, so he's in his 50s when he says this. He said, when I was 20, I was selling all my composition books because he knew it all. Hmm. See, at 20, mm-hmm. he knew it all.
Yeah, right.
But at 40, he said I was buying them all back.
Yes.
I realized. Mm-hmm. But he said, when I turned 50, I finally began to understand what composition is all about. It's such a anything that's in the creative arts, whether it's, you know, painting, sculpture, writing, anything at all that's creative, you realize how much you don't know, but how much you can grow and develop along the way. And you also know how to plug in the right things that fit what your needs are. And but again, that's just a lifelong experience that you have to develop.
Right. Tell us where we can come see you this weekend.
Well, this weekend we'll be at Sweet Bay, which is development at the old airport site. And it'd be very easy to spot us because the center of Sweet Bay, there is a little pavilion with about a 3-acre pond and a beautiful setting there. It's across the street from the Academy, which is the, I forget what it's called, but it's the Academy there. Beautiful lawn. We can see easily 1,000, maybe 1,200 people.
Oh, fantastic. And it's completely free.
It's completely
free.
Just
drive on in.
Drive on in.
And you can bring a chair and a blanket.
You better bring a chair and a blanket or you'll have to want to stand all night.
And it would be a good idea to show about 30 minutes before it starts at 6:30.
Plan to arrive between 6:05, something like for a 6:30 concert. It will run a good hour and a half from the beginning to end.
Okay.
And it's going to be fun. We want to make sure that you think in terms of family, because this is a family event.
All right.
We're going to play music that the children love, and believe me, as a grandfather of six and a seventh one on the way, I can tell you that if something is fun for the kids, it's something fun for
absolutely
adults.
Enjoy the Panama City Pops this weekend at Sweet Bay. Bob Seger's next. This is The Mix on 90.7 FM and HD. WKGC, your local public radio station. This is The Mix, and good morning. We're wrapping up this hour with Good of the Order. Brandon, some things going around town today, if you have time.
If you have time, there's the blood drive going on over at Bill Kramer on 23rd Street.
You're going to drive by.
It's on my way back home.
It's
anyways.
On your way everywhere.
It's going on. It's actually been going on for about almost 3 hours now, and it's going to keep going until 7 tonight. All presenting volunteer donors will receive a t-shirt, coupons to Chick-fil-A and TGI Fridays, as well as the Domino's and Krispy Kreme donuts will be provided as well.
Okay. They want to make sure you get your snacks over at the blood drive. They are in need of blood. The Red Cross called yesterday to let us know that there is a shortage of some blood types in our area. So if you can stop by, please do that. Help out the community and the Red Cross. It's also registration time here at Gulf Coast State College. So gulfcoast.edu and get the registration forms in and pick those classes. For this weekend, the only place to be is
Sweet Bay.
There you go.
Saturday night, Panama City Pops Orchestra. We want you there. Bring your families. Bring your picnic lunch, whatever. Have a great event, family-oriented. We're going to introduce the world to Cinderella.
All right.
Piece, and you'll hear classical favorites, and you'll hear new music that comes out of the films.
And completely free.
Completely free.
And if you do, your performances at the Marina Civic Center,
yes.
You can purchase tickets in advance to have for the next season, right?
Yes,
starting
just,
in the fall.
Simply calling 785-POPS-POPS,
okay.
And you can get those tickets. But for right now, just come out Saturday night. You'll love us so much, then you'll want to come here.
You'll want to.
And be there at 6, and Cinderella's going to be there as well.
That's right. Pictures with Cinderella and the Prince.
And the Prince.
Okay. All right.
Shows at 6:30. Good to show up around 6 o'clock, 6:05. Mm-hmm. Find parking.
Right.
All right. So have a great time on Saturday night. I know the show will be fantastic. Of course, I've caught a few performances in the past at the Marina Civic Center. You guys are top notch.
Thank you.
Absolutely. In addition, what was I going to? Sunshine is coming up next. She's in the hot seat. She'll take you to noon on 90.7 FM and HD.